you very much.
Sorry about the delay. We're just switching on the recorder. That's always a way. So here today we start the season of Epiphany, or the Feast of the Kings. And this morning I am not going to go through Mark 7, verses 1 to 23, as a form of exegesis. I will be referring to this passage, and I'm hoping in so doing also to throw light on Epiphany, and also to challenge our own thinking. Is that clear? Are we all happy? Excellent. So let me start by telling you a story. A man goes to heaven, is met by St. Peter, and is shown around. And to his surprise, he discovers that heaven consists of a corridor with a lot of doors on each side of the corridor, all closed. So they go to the first door, and St. Peter opens the door, and the room inside is full of beautiful kleinsong chanting, clouds of incense, absolutely wonderful. And St. Peter says, these are the Roman Catholics. They shut the door, they move on to the next door, and they open that, and have a look inside, and there are people praising God, and they've got guitars, they've got drums, they've got tambourines. As he says, these are the Baptists. They shut the door and move on to the third door, and the third door will get to him, and the man's about to open the door, and he says, shh, wait a minute. These are the free evangelicals, and they think they're the only ones here. There's a problem with the Magi. Do you know what it is? There's a problem with the Magi. Do you know what it is? They're what are they? They're Gentiles. They're Gentiles. Had you ever wondered why Mary and Joseph as good Jews didn't recoil in horror when these Gentiles come into their presence? Because as good Jews they would understand they would be unclean. And that anything they accepted from them would be unclean. You know, the Old Testament prophecy contained in our first reading, Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6. I'm just taking verse 3 of that. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. What a prophecy! And what a joy that is! What an encouragement and what a hope! What a vision! Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. God's light in the person of Jesus is going to bring light into the darkness of people's lives, Jews and Gentiles alike. But also God's reflective light in his people is also going to bring his light into the world as well. God's light reflected in his people. You might remember when Moses went up the mountain and met with God, and when he came back down again, he had to cover his face because his face was reflecting the brightness and the glory of God, and he had to cover it. I shared this personal example at the men's breakfast not so long ago. I became a Christian through noticing the change in other people whom I had known previously when I was at school and saw how they had changed. And I realized that they had something that I didn't have. That what they had was good and they had a faith which I didn't have. And I could see it in them. But I knew they were Christians and I wasn't. It showed in their lives as well. Brendan and I went along to a party just before we married, and it was a great time, wonderful party. But at 11 o'clock or half past 11, whatever the time was, the hosts stopped all the music and gathered everybody around and said, "We've had such a wonderful time, we think it's really good if we say thank you to God for this party and time together." My dear friends, I might tell you I've been to many parties of a very different sort. Never once had there been a prayer in a party. It had a huge, huge effect on me because these people were living out their faith in their everyday lives. Something of God's life, God's glory, was shining through them. And God's people, you see, are called to show that light to others. That was and is their calling as God's people, to show His light. And it is still our calling now. But there was a problem. The problem was that it was not happening. And to answer why, let me ask you a question. Joseph and Mary were good Jews? Yes. Yes, they were. So why didn't they recoil when the Gentile wise men came into their house and offered their goods? It would have made them unclean. And you see, it becomes very difficult, doesn't it, to have a relationship with someone or to bring God's light to them if you cannot meet under the same roof or have contact with them, or yet you see them as being unacceptable, as being unclean. It makes mission very, very difficult. And Jesus is discussing this uncleanness in our gospel reading this morning, in that Mark 7 chapter. And what has happened is that God's commands, as contained in the Old Testament scriptures, these commands were to be obeyed. But to those commands had also been added a sort of commentary to help people interpret the commands. The commentary was the tradition of the elders. There is nothing wrong with having tradition. But the tradition should never supersede God's commands. God's commands are always to be obeyed and taken on board. The additions the thoughts, which hopefully may be helpful, should always be seen in that light. This was the problem which they had at the time. The explanation assumed more importance than God's commands, and so they were going down the wrong track. It's the difference, if you like, between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And so some people came to Jesus and started complaining about his disciples not washing their hands before a meal. You see, they might have come from the marketplace, where they might have come into contact with a Gentile, unclean. You have to have ceremonial washing before you have something to eat, according to the tradition of the elders. And Jesus responds to a crow from Isaiah: "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." It's not about the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Jesus drives the point home by giving an example of Korban. A Korban is a gift devoted to God. And he compares this with the command, which you all know very well: honour your father and your mother. But to this would be added the teaching of saying, I'm going to put part of my money, part of my possessions, on one side for God. And it can only be used for that purpose. And therefore, parents, I can't possibly support you in your needs, in your old age. The one thing is operating against the other. Do you see? And it's a danger for us all. We all operate with interpreting things in our lives, interpreting how we should worship, in heart interpreting how we should live out the commandments. We all do it. But we need to make sure that what we are doing is really in line with the spirit of the law that God intended. God's vision that his world was that through his chosen people, all other nations should see the light of his presence and come and worship him. We need to be careful what we do as a church to make sure we're not hindering that. I don't know if any of you listened to the Sunday programme this morning on Radio 4. There was an article in there about what is happening in several Anglican churches in this country.